Welcome to the City of Belfast Planning Board meeting, October 14th, 2020. This is a continuation of the Nordic application for an RAS fish farm in the Little River area of Southern Belfast, Route 1. There's a full description attached to the agenda. On to item 4.2, board review of draft findings from the Department of Environment Protection to the Bureau of Environment Protection on the main pollution elimination discharge system permits, Natural Resource Protection Act permit, and Site Location of Development Act permit, and the comments from intervener to BEP regarding said permits. Board review will also consider information in the Nordic Aquafarms permit application and other documents that are included in the public record. Mandy, could you lead the discussion, please?
Okay. All right. So what I've done is looked at the application that was submitted to the DEP for the wastewater discharge review, because, as you know, that's not a criteria under the city's ordinances. And basically, just to give you some background of what, you know, because there's a lot of information here, and you know, you've heard this a few times, but it's 7.7 million gallons per day at full build out is the discharge flow amount from the fish rearing and production process. And the wastewater treatment plant that's going to be in Building 8 treats this, and then it goes out and outfall into the bay, approximately 4,200 linear feet. So the treatment process has four steps. The first one is an aerobic moving bed bioreactor, which is what in the wastewater industry is activated sludge. Basically, you aerate, give food and oxygen to microorganisms, and they consume soluble materials that are in a wastewater, and then you use their bodies to settle out what would have been soluble. It's really commonly used. It's the same technology that the city's wastewater treatment plant and many municipal wastewater treatment plants use. The only twist on it here is to be more efficient with space, you put these plastic discs and there's various shapes that could be used into the mixed water, and it creates more solid places for bacteria to grow. So that's the first step. The second step is the microfiltration membrane bioreactor. And as part of that process, there's a chemical of ferric chloride added, which removes phosphorus. The third one is a sludge dewatering, which basically all the solids that are settled out from a tank after the aeration process and the things that are screened out in the bioreactor filters, they are dewatered to minimize the water that you're hauling away in the solids. The water that you separate from that goes back into further treatment, and the solids are trucked away. And then the water that's going out to the bay is disinfected using ultraviolet light, and that's to kill bacteria and viruses. So what's being taken off-site from the wastewater treatment plant is, based on the application, is roughly 250 cubic yards per day of solids. And that would go to either a landfill or to reuse, which is common, like land spreading. It can be used. There's a composting facility, Hawk Ridge, that a lot of people send things to. And in the application materials, there's a list of various places that this could go for reuse or disposal. My general comment on advertising about treatment facilities is that the technology can be whatever it is, but the operation is key. You've got to have professional operators who know how to operate the equipment to make sure that it runs right. I mean, that's achievable, but my concern with anything to do with wastewater is, if this is the right technology to treat this waste, it's got to be operated well. So that's kind of my summary on the treatment plant. Does anybody want to talk about that before I move on to the outfall discussion?
What's the monitoring of the, what's the external monitoring of the treatment plant?
There is a list of parameters that needs to be tested for. So let me just flip ahead here. The parameters that are in the license are 30, a biochemical oxygen demand, which is basically soluble, but it's the demand of oxygen that is used when the waste goes out into the receiving water. So you're basically measuring the ability of the wastewater to be consumed and use up oxygen. So that it's a common wastewater parameter. total suspended solids, nitrogen, pH, temperature, and the flow. And those are the things that are regularly tested and reported. And they're reported on a monthly basis, but the actual testing, it varies for all of them. I can pull up the table if I need to, but there is, some are tested twice a week, some are tested to grab samples once a week, some are tested continuously, so it's a variety of things. Temperature, I neglected to mention temperature, that's also monitored. Then there's other parameters that they're collecting data for and reporting it, but they don't have a limit. So those are nitrates and nitrogen.
So those are tested at the plant, not at the end of the pipe?
Correct. They've got to be sampled where they can be accessed.
Okay. So does anybody on the board have questions? Yes, Wayne?
Mandy, 250 cubic yards per day is being trucked off?
That's the estimate of the amount of solids that will be trucked off when full build out.
So I'm just thinking out loud that on a 10-wheel dump truck, an average dump truck takes about 12 cubic yards, and a big one might take about 24 cubic yards. So you're figuring 10 trucks a day are in and out of there hauling that off?
The kind of containers that are typically used for sludge, and I don't know specifically what's proposed here, they're roll-off containers. So they're longer, usually 22 feet long, and they can be 8x8 on a big, so they're 30 to 40 cubic yards is what they can hold. However, given the viscosity of what might be in it, you may not be able to fill it to the top. So my estimate was like an 8x8 to 10 trucks a day based on that rate.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Jeff?
Yeah, I was just, I was interested, you said how important it was to have skilled operators. If we had a condition that we wanted to craft, is there a certification or something that someone would have that we would be assured they were skilled to operate that facility? Or how could we craft a condition out of that?
Yes, the state of Maine licenses operators, class 1 through class 5. And actually, one of the things I didn't see in the license, and maybe just because I was in press for time trying to go through everything, is exactly what class this plant would be, if it's a 4 or a 5. But there is definitely you could put that number to it and require a certain operator. But the DEP will as well. I mean, it's redundant, but, this is a city process as well, and it is important to make sure there's a licensed operator that's qualified to operate the facility. That person is also responsible, as a matter of trust, of reporting the results accurately. So it's a really important position because they are the eyes and ears of the DEP and the city and making sure that things are done right.
Wayne Marshall.
Just following up on that question by Jeff. Mandy, is it critical for the skilled operator to be on site at all points in time?
Not necessarily if they have trained staff that report to them. I mean, most of the time when a wastewater facility is operated, say, for example, if they had three operators, there might be only one that's the operator of the site of a certain class, and the others may be either not licensed or licensed at a lesser degree.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, Mandy, how we go?
Okay, so as far as the outfall goes, just a refresher on that. It's a 36-inch diameter, high-density polyethylene pipe, and it's going to leave the site across the road, across the mud flat. Roughly about 600 feet of that is in the mud flat, and then go out and the remainder out into the bay. So I reviewed the studies that were submitted by Ransom. They did a near-field solution and dispersion study, which determines the configuration and location of the outfall. And they basically, to get to the point, they determined that the outfall should consist of three 12-inch ports that are on the top of the pipe about 50 feet apart, which help disperse the flow into the receiving water. So it's not all coming out of one pipe at the end like you see a culvert, but it's spread out through those three spots over 100 feet of length.